Hello, everybody, and welcome to Luxiva Vacations Radio. I'm your host, Dustin Kramer. Look, I don't want to tell you guys how to run your business, so I won't. However, Bert would like to share his top five recommendations for all travel specialists.
Luxiva Vacations Radio.
Feels good to be back here in the studio, huh?
Yes, it does.
I'm enjoying making these podcasts. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So today on the episode, I have Bert Kramer, Chief Visionary, again in the hot seat. He's more of a co-host and less of a guest. So I guess from now on, what we'll do is if you're not going to be here, I will let them know that you're not here. So you've been in the travel industry since 2002. You've seen it all. You've done it all, you know, working with all those travel agents over the years. So I can imagine that you've got some good things to tell us today. So could you, you know, tell us what travel agents need to do to be successful? I know today we're doing like a top five recommendation, so... Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, thanks.
Let us know some things.
You know, whenever you do anything for as long as we've been doing this travel business, you've probably seen just about everything, both good and bad. And, you know, so over those years, we definitely have learned a lot. And, you know, no matter what you're doing in your, you know, your given trade, you know, if you do it long enough, you see things, you learn things, you pick up techniques and strategies. And my example to today is that we've got two dogs that, you know, they need to be groomed every 3 or 4 months. And it's pretty expensive. I mean, it's like $120 every time we get them groomed. And so I went out and I bought a pair of professional, you know, dog clippers, whatever. I'd have probably spent like $190 on these things. They're beautiful. And so I told Patricia that I'm going to go ahead and groom our dog for the first time. And by the way, I don't have a dog grooming station, so I just went out into the garage and kind of sat there in the middle of the floor with an extension cord and groomed my dog. And
poor Scary.
Yeah, poor guy. It took me forever, and I did. You know, she would say it's an okay job. It was horrible, and you know, we can take the dogs to Annie. That's our normal groomer, and she does it fast, and they come out looking beautiful, and people make comments, and you know, I've done this now I think 2 or 3 times, and by the way, I've since given up the dog grooming business, so I let her do all of our grooming now. But obviously, she's been doing it forever, and she's picked up certain techniques and strategies to get it done good, you know. And I don't know what those things are. And you know, for me, I just need to stay out of her realm and just let her do that. But again, when you do anything, as long as you know we've done travel or she's done dog grooming, you learn some things. And I wanted to just kind of share a couple of those with the audience today, if that's all right.
That is all right. So take us to your number one.
Well, you know, we get asked, you know, all the time from new travel agents, you know, how should I be spending my time? What should I be doing? And I tell them that, you know, usually it's going to change. So, you know, today, you know, day one, day two, week one, whatever that is, it's going to be different from what it's going to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, certainly 3 years from now. But in the very beginning, you're going to be splitting your time, you know, between two things. Mostly it's going to be, you know, training, okay, learning our system, learning our different travel suppliers, tour operators, booking engines, things like that there. But the other part of your time is going to be spent on marketing, getting yourself, you know, set up, getting your name out there, starting to build your marketing, your clientele, all those kind of things. You're going to spend a little bit of time on a third thing, and that's, you know, just the setting up of your business, things like that there. So, like I said, you know, as you progress in this, that's going to naturally change as you start to get clients that you're actually booking, because now you're going to be sending quotes out. You're going to be, you know, actually making the reservations. You're going to be entering the reservation into our booking manager system. So that's going to take some time. And then as they get closer to travel, there's certain things that you're going to have to do. So you're going to be spending more time, you know, with your clients in their individual booking. So, you know, if it's one, you know, that the first item on here, I guess, is going to be that you have to, you know, you have to divide up your time and realize that, you know, you should be doing, you know, two things, maybe a third thing. Those things are training, marketing your business, and then a little bit of setting up your business.
So write that down, everyone. Number one,
yeah,
dividing up your time.
You know, the second thing I had here on my notes was growing and scaling your business. And I'm going to explain a little bit about what I mean by that. And I'm going to use the example of Cheryl. Now, that's not her real name because she may be listening to this. So Cheryl and Patricia and I, we became friends. And then, of course, we, you know, became friends with her husband. And we traveled on several fam trips with them. And she was always working. She was never off. And I remember her husband, he posted a picture of her on one of our fam trips at the pool during our free time. You know, she was sitting there on this big, you know, lounge chair, you know, with her laptop between her legs, and she was, you know, typing away on that. And he was, you know, commented in the post, you know, how proud he was. But what I had, you know, observed, you know, in my role was that she was always working. She was never off. And she had kind of built this business that required her to work it literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it wasn't sustainable. Now, again, she did very well. She was, you know, a top travel agent with us as far as her sales. But she wasn't doing anything to set up her business to grow or to scale. It was going to be always be limited by her and how much time she could put into that to that business.
So what are some things that Cheryl, quote unquote, Cheryl, could have done to grow and expand beyond herself?
Well, there's a lot of things, and I'm going to get into some of those in my my further bullet points here. But, you know, one of those things is that at some point in time, if you want to grow this business beyond you, and by the way, if I can back up a little bit, I met a guy, oh gosh, several years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, and we were on a Royal Caribbean top producers trip, and we were sitting there talking, and he was sharing with me, you know, he'd been doing this for a while. He enjoys doing it. He does, I think he might have been in the Miami or Fort Lauderdale area. And he said that he alone was doing $4 to $5 million a year in cruise sales. Big chunk of that was with Royal Caribbean. And he explained that he didn't have any other agents, but he had two really, really good assistants that worked with him. So, you know, I guess in this, you know, my other bullet point here in my notes is that, you know, at some point in time, if you want to grow beyond you, you're going to have to consider at some point bringing on some type of an assistant. I remember, you know, years ago as we were growing, you know, our business, we always had, you know, an assistant, somebody that helped us with clerical type of stuff, answering emails. You know, at that time we were filling out a lot of forms. So she would, you know, fill out, you know, all of our paperwork for us, took care of, you know, some of our, you know, legal, financial, accounting type of stuff. So, you know, at some point in time, that might be your spouse, that might be your daughter who's going to help you. You know, one of the things early on that travel agents a lot of times will do is they'll have somebody help them putting their bookings into our, you know, to our booking manager. Sometimes it's, you know, doing some follow-up with the client. So at some point in time, again, you're going to need to, if your plans and your goals are to expand this beyond you, you're going to have to consider some type of an assistant.
An assistant, are we, I mean, that feels like a good segue into your third point here, because I see it on the paper also, the automation thing. Assistants are not automatic, but so do you want to enlighten us with this automation thing? Because I know we use a lot of automation.
Yeah.
And I feel like people think you have to be some big scary corporation in order to automate things. And I just don't think they know about all the tools out there that you can, a lot of things are free or cheap monthly subscriptions to automate.
Yeah, and if I can back up a little bit on the whole assistant thing, you know, part of that is not necessarily having somebody that's coming into your office. What's really, really big now and has been big for a number of years is virtual assistants, which you're going to be able to pick up, you know, good quality virtual assistants. And again, maybe that's a podcast for another time, but you can pick up a really good virtual assistant for, you know, anywhere from like $5 an hour to, you know, $9, $10 an hour. And again, part of what they could be doing is implementing, again, you said, like I said, the next point here, which is using automation whenever it's possible. You know, one of the things that I found early on us doing is that, you know, as we begin to get into our business, we saw that we were kind of responding to emails with the same questions over and over again. And we found ourselves, you know, retyping out those responses every single time that we, you know, that we got an email. We'd start from the beginning and kind of be typing the exact same thing. So one of the things that we did is we created some email templates. And that really grew to a huge arsenal of, you know, responses. So if somebody, you know, had a question about, you know, booking, you know, we would have a canned email for that that addressed, you know, 90% of what they were asking. And then we would fill in the other 10% that made it, you know, personalized. So, you know, that's one thing is email automation. You know, of course, we use Gmail as our platform for emailing, and Gmail has got a way for you to create templates in that.
Right.
So the other thing that that we use is Messenger. So one of the tools that we use, and matter of fact, today we were having a meeting discussing, you know, how we're going to continue to use Messenger, is there's a program out there called ManyChat. It's M-A-N-Y-C-H-A-T, ManyChat. There's, you can get information at ManyChat.com. But what it does is it allows you to really create some significant automation with your Facebook Messenger. So if you've got the ability for people off of your Facebook business page to send you a message, you can set up automation based on, you know, what kind of questions they you know, they're asking. And, you know, the most obvious one is to make sure that as soon as somebody types you a message, that they get a greeting, because you're not always going to be there to right. respond when you see that message come in. So you want to make sure that your ManyChat or your automation for Messenger is set up to at least provide an initial greeting, let them know, hey, I'm the automated attendant, I'm the, you know, travel specialist bot, you know, whatever that is, and that you'll get back with them, you know, quickly, or provide additional information how they can reach you right now, whatever that is. So, you know, ManyChat, you can make very, very sophisticated bots, and it almost feels like you're talking to a human being because they're so intuitive.
Right. Well, Facebook actually, if you're not looking to spend money on ManyChat right away, you know, you gotta crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. But Facebook does allow you to, I believe, at the very least, set up a response. Like if someone messages you, it will automatically be like, hey, what's up? I mean, mine says something silly like, I believe it or not, I don't have my phone buried in my face at this very moment, or something like that. And when I am back to scrolling or whatever, I'll get back to you. Something along those lines. It's comical,
yeah.
Obviously.
But. Well, the worst thing you can do as a new travel specialist when you start to get traction on your Facebook business page and people are reaching out to you is for them to type a message and hear crickets. You know, they want to hear a response. Even if it's automated, as long as you let them know, you know, that, hey, this is an automated message, you know, as soon as I see this, or, you know, whatever your response is going to be.
Working
let them
with
know
another
that.
Client
yeah, yep,
to make you sound like you are working with another client.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that that I use a lot is text messaging. Of course, with our plan, we've got unlimited text. And I found that, you know, if you're really trying to strike up a relationship, I will test, you know, how good my relationship is with somebody by sending them a text, all right? And I'm not trying to be some creeper or anything, but I found that if, you know, people respond to that text message, well, then they're saying, hey, this is an acceptable way for us to communicate, and it's very personal, which, again, I'm trying to make our relationship as personable as possible so that, you know, they don't treat me just like some unknown, you know, entity out there in the cyber world online. I want them to treat me like, hey, I'm your neighbor. So when it comes time to, hey, I gave you a quote, don't just ghost me. You know, I want them to feel obligated to at least say, hey, you know, it's coming in a little bit too high, or I found something a little bit cheaper, or I want a different room category. I want them to feel comfortable in this relationship. So I use text messaging. Now, again, same thing goes as I find myself replying or sending the same text messages over and over again. So what I've got on my phone is a little like a notepad.
I think all phones come with some kind of sticky note or...
Yeah. Yep.
Text edit notes.
Yeah, so I've got OneNote is what I use, and I've got an entire probably 3 or 4 pages worth of, you know, shortcut responses, and I literally just copy and paste those into my text message so that I don't have to take the time to, you know, retype things. And what I found also is by doing that is you can have your best response. So again, I want to say certain things certain ways, and if I've got a canned respond, then I know that I'm always going to be sending the message, you know, that I really, really want to send to that prospective client.
Right. So it's almost like manual automation, because you do have to take the time to really think about your responses, get them all written out. But you do that once, and then...
Absolutely.
And it's done.
You know, I built this list over time, you know, and I've got links that are, you know, included in there so I can send them links. I don't have to worry about going in and adding the https://, all that kind of stuff. It's already there. So I'm just part of copying and pasting it. So, hey, I want to leave you with one other thing when it comes to automation, and we will be talking about this in upcoming podcasts. And that's a tool that we came across called Sly Broadcast. So if you've been to 3-day training intensive here with us, you already know about Sly Broadcast. And I was sharing with somebody the other day, and I can't remember who exactly it was, but she was telling me that she had this entire list of people who had come to some type of a show that she had put on, and she had all of their names, their email addresses, and their mobile numbers. And I said, well, hey, you know, one of the things that we use is something called Sly Broadcast, which allows you to record a message. And you and I have worked on this.
Yes,
I mean, this is what we do together, is literally record it here on this microphone, or we've done it right on my cell phone where I record a short message. And then I upload it to our Sly Broadcast account. And then I can send that voicemail message. Now, hang on, I'm going to explain this. But I can send that voicemail message to an entire list of people. So if you think about, all right, let's say you go and do some type of a show, bridal show, whatever type of, you know, home and garden show, and you're collecting names and phone numbers. You bring it back and you basically upload that list, and you can send a canned message, and you can make it, I mean, you know this because we do this all the time. You make that sound like you called that person and, you know, you didn't reach them, so here's the voicemail. So,
and you leave your ers and ums and, hey, yeah, just got back from the, who I got here? This is your voicemail? Okay, well, this is, just want to let you know, like...
Absolutely. So, you know, if you think about it, how long is it going to take you to, you know, get on your phone and to call, you know, 40, 50, 60 people? Because what are you doing when you're doing that? Half your time is spent dialing the number, waiting for it to connect, and then watching it, you know, waiting for it to ring. And then probably, again, if unless somebody that you know, they're probably going to screen it and let it go to voicemail, right? So you're spending all your time doing all this stuff that is can all be done automated. So, you know, once you've got your little message, hey, this is Bert, listen, I wanted to reach out to you real quick because you were at the bridal show here in Bradenton, Florida with us, and just let you know that I'm going to be sending you over an email and, you know, whatever, you know, have a good day. You upload that message, and then Sly Broadcast will allow you to upload your list of telephone numbers, and it will literally call all those people and leave a voicemail. Now, you know, you don't have to worry that they're going to pick up because the technology allows you or allows that message to be delivered straight to their voicemail inbox. So the phone won't even ring. It goes straight to their, you know, to their voicemail. So they'll look down at their phone and go, oh, shoot, I missed a phone call. And they'll, you know, hit the play button. And sure enough, it's Bert sitting there saying, hey, this is Bert. Listen, we met, you know, a little while ago at the bridal show, and I just wanted to reach out to you. So, you know, we've got, and I'm not going to give it away.
No, I know, please don't. I don't even know what you're going to say, but don't give it away.
You've got something coming up here in about a week that's going to be pretty big that you're going to be announcing. And, you know, you guys are going to be all excited about this. You're going to be totally on board with this. It's going to be amazing, and it's coming. We'll probably announce it in some type of a video or Facebook Live, but it's coming. But imagine, you know, if you take the information that we're going to give you and have to sit there and call all your prospective, you know, clients, how long that could possibly take you. So imagine if you could, you know, send out, you know, 100 voicemail messages to your best, you know, prospective travel clients, you know, and you do that in a couple of seconds and it costs you like $1 to do that.
Yeah. And I think the best tip to not sound like a robot when you are recording this is actually record it on your phone and just literally put it up to your ear and walk around and record what you were going to say.
Yeah.
It'll make it feel like you're leaving the voice message.
And the nice thing, because you know, you're gonna record it two or three times. I mean, we've got it down to we can do one takes, right? But it's gonna take you two or three times to get your message. But here again, you're able to say exactly what you wanna say and have it sound exactly how you wanna sound it, and then you send that exact same perfect message out to all your prospective, you know, travel clients or whoever, however you want to use that. Hey, Dustin, if I can leave one more thing.
With automation,
yeah. Okay. Is that you want to look around at what you're doing over the course of the day. How are you spending your time? And kind of like analyze that to determine where can I put some automation in place. So that's going to be different for everybody based on, you know, where you're at in your travel business, whether you came on board a week ago or you've been on board for, you know, a couple of years. It's going to be different, but you need to kind of like analyze your day. Hey, what did I do today? And could any of that been automated?
Hey, if you're a Luxiva Vacations travel specialist, this message is for you. You're invited to join the Luxiva Vacations team and your fellow travel specialists for our upcoming 3-day training intensive. Each 3DTI is limited to only 28 travel specialists, so reserve your spot today. We've developed this proprietary immersive training to give you the unique opportunity to train in our home office alongside your fellow travel specialists and our industry top trainers. We're flying in professionals from each of our key suppliers to train with you in an intimate setting, answer all of your questions, and jumpstart your travel business. For more details and to sign up, visit luxivovacationstravelagents.com/3DTI. That's luxivovacationstravelagents.com/3DTI. Okay, so we've talked about three of your top recommendations. So let's hear this fourth one. I'm looking at it here. You want to tell us what it is?
Sure. That is using a contact manager, and sometimes you'll hear them referred to as a customer relationship or a CRM or, you know, some way to manage your contacts. And, you know, I tell the story that, I think it was like 2000, 2001. I was at a conference with one of the companies that we were working at the time, and they rolled out this product from a company called Earnware, which is now they've moved on to other things. They no longer support their contact manager. But I bought this thing. I think it was like, $50 a month to use this contact manager. And, you know, I went to the conference, slapped on my $50, came home, and I looked at this thing and go, oh, my gosh, this thing is complicated. But it looks pretty cool, and I should probably learn how to use this. Well, month number one goes by. Month number two goes by.
$150 later.
Yeah, month number three goes by, and I'm like, you know, I need to probably do something with this or stop paying $50 a month, you know? So kind of like some of our travel specialists are, you know, they get into the business and then they kind of, you know, all fired up and then they kind of slow down. And finally they go, you know, I'm paying for this. I need to do something with it. And sometimes with our travel specialists, you know, it's like 4 or 5 months. We've had people as late as 8 months into this call us up and say, listen, I've been paying for this thing, but now I really want to do something because I see the potential, or I've got a potential client and now I really want to do something. But that's not what I was wanted to talk about.
Right, right.
So I started to look at this contact manager, and like I said, it looked complicated, and it was initially a little bit complicated, but I kind of made a commitment, and it wasn't because I was spending $50 a month. It was because I saw the power in using this thing. So I spent, you know, probably the next, you know, 60, 90 days learning the system, figuring out, reverse engineering, you know, trying different things. And basically what it was allowing me to do was to build email campaigns in it so I could keep track of all of my contacts. Anybody that I met, they got added to this contact manager, and they got segregated between, you know, the type of contact that they were. Were they a travel supplier, like a business development manager, or were they a prospective traveler, or were they a prospective, you know, travel agent? And based on what they were, I could create different campaigns. So, I mean, over the next year or so, I created multiple different campaigns. You know, back then it was for some different products that we were selling, but eventually it became the backbone of our travel business. So, you know, when we finally had to migrate to another system, I'm pretty sure that we had something like 100,000 plus, that's like maybe 109,000 contacts in there. We looked and we had sent out something like 5 million email addresses. And the beauty behind that is that, you know, once you've got these contacts and you've got a nice CRM, you can do all kinds of things. So like if you've got some type of a promotion or a service that you're going to be offering, you can write these emails. And again, you're able to script them out how you want them and then set them up into a campaign. And a campaign is basically, I want to send this email on this day. I want to send email number 2 on day number 5. I want to send email number 3 on day number 14 or whatever that is. And then you basically turn it on. And sure enough, your lead, your contact in there is going to get an email on day 3, on day 5, on day, 14 or whatever that is. So, we've got Tess as our CRM, and it's really good for keeping track of your clients. It's fabulous for keeping track of your clients. It's not necessarily the best tool for marketing to your clients. We use a third-party product called ClickFunnels, which we've got information. I believe it's in the LVRC on that there. But
yeah, shout out, Russell. We love you. Send us free merch, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera.
So again, for our business, we're sending out, I think I did a real quick look and we had sent out something like 2 million emails over just the last 2 years. So, we send out a lot of emails and you can get a feel that if you've got 100 or 200 or 500 or 1,000 contacts and you're able to be in touch with them, every single week, the prospects of you being successful, selling whatever you're selling, offering whatever you're offering, whether it's, vacations or cruises or some type of travel, you can really stay in contact with your customers, with a good CRM. One of the ones that I recommend, I know that in the LVRC we recommend MailChimp, and it's a good system. It's used by
kind
a lot of
beginner
companies.
Friendly, I
it's
think.
It's beginner friendly. Yep. Is a product called ActiveCampaign. So you can do some research and find them at activecampaign.com, I believe. But I've got a close personal friend. She owns her own agency, and it has become the backbone of her agency. And she's in the romance destination ready market, and she uses it, again, like for every aspect of her business, but mostly for, keeping track of all of her customers and her clients and her prospective, brides and, their destination weddings. So, that's number 4, is to have a really good contact management, a CRM. Of course, we provide tests as part of our program, and that's an absolutely great place to put all of your prospective clients and your actual traveling clients. But again, for doing email marketing, taking it up to the next level, we recommend something like ActiveCampaign.
Well, and being able to send all those emails and having that many contacts and just staying in touch with your clients, like that's going to make you look pretty professional, pretty trustworthy and well-to-do. But another thing that you can do with all those emails and contacts and whatnot is, not to get crazy technical and go down a rabbit hole, but you can export those, upload them to Facebook, and start making like look-alike audiences and have a audience to run ads to and all kinds of fun stuff.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that was like one of the next things I want to talk about, because you're 100% right. I mean, if you're, back in the days, all right, when I first got into sales a bazillion years ago, I mean, we had index cards. That's how you kept track of everybody, was on a little, Rolodex. White, index card or in a Rolodex or something like that there. And it was so difficult and so, to actually get any use out of that. Sure, you could scroll through, alphabetize and find somebody. But, beyond that, you really couldn't do a whole lot with it. The most basic form of a contact manager is going to be, if you're using, Gmail like we recommend, is the contacts in Gmail, because you can kind of sort them and organize them in there. You can, classify them as a travel prospect or, whoever they are. And then, you can take that information and export it to, some CRM down the road. But you're 100% right on the whole. You can export that list to Facebook, create an audience based on your contacts, and be able to market directly to those people. I mean, they may not be checking their email, but they're checking their Facebook, feed. So you can make sure that your ads are popping up in your contacts' Facebook feeds.
And you just need to have this contact manager thing, because it helps you stay so organized and it helps you feel more like a business. You are a business. If you're just trying to fly by writing people's names down or who your friends are on Facebook, it's just not very professional. I mean, this is something that you just have to have. You have to have a cash register if you have a ice cream shop that you're opening. You can't just have a spiral bound notebook and be like, well, did you pay? Who's next? Who's, what's going on here? And I mean, you have to, this is just something you need to have.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, I know that, I mean, just today I added somebody to the CRM. It was a business card from somebody who stopped by the office. And I know, hey, I'm going to need to reach out to them at some point in the future. So I want to make sure that I'm not thumbing through a stack of, 600 or 1,000 business cards that I can literally type into the search bar their name, the company that they work with, and have all of their contact information right there.
And if you don't know their name, you can set tags and stuff, and that'll allow you to be like, now who is that person that works with
tags? What are a tag, Dustin?
Tags are, tune in next week when we talk about millennial stuff. Okay, so number 5 of your top 5 recommendations.
You know, I want to end with this, and that is to invest wisely into yourself and to your business. So, a lot of times, people either go one way or the other with this. Either they're putting a lot of money into their business that they shouldn't, or they're being very stingy and not investing anything into their business. The story I'd like to use is that you remember the days when we used to recommend that people go out and buy their own email address and then or a domain name.
Yes,
and
yes.
So we'd send them to an affiliate site that we had. Actually, it's LuxevoInternational.com, where you can get your, domain names and email addresses and all that kind of stuff. And we'd say, just buy a domain name, which would be about $12, and just buy your email address, which is like, $15, $20. And we'd check our orders, and somebody's spending, $200, $300, $400. I think the record that someone spent $600, and it's like, we told you to buy, basically $25 worth of stuff and you spent $600. So you got those kind of people who invest, foolishly throw money, at it. As long as there's room on their credit card, they're going to buy stuff even if they don't, they're not going to use it. And then there's the others who don't want to invest any money into your business. There's got to be a balance there based on your budget. But you are going to find time when you're going to need to invest in your business. For us, for our program, we've got, our fee to get started and, to manage your business. And that's it. It includes almost everything that you're going to need. But you're going to need business cards, right?
Yep.
So that's what, $40, $50 for business cards?
Yeah, with us.
I think most people get, I need business cards. I mean, that's almost like a given. Sure, I need business cards, so they'll make that investment. But other things, like, one of the things that our test CRM, we provide the basic version, which is lots and lots and lots of features. It really does well. But if, once somebody gets to like a half dozen or a dozen bookings, they need to consider upgrading to the advanced version, which is like another $15, per month more. For the advanced version, which gets them even more, features and benefits, to help to manage your business, to grow their clientele, things like that. But, when you look at, active campaigns, I don't know what the minimum is, but it's, $15, $25. You might find yourself spending, $50 a month based on how many contacts you got. But there are going to come, there's going to be things that come up. I know that you have got the apparel store. You want to talk a little bit about that real quick?
Yeah. I mean, lxvnapparel.com. It's just your one-stop shop for everything, t-shirts, hats, not business cards, but you can get trade show banners and table things and just go look at it.
Well, I know that
those are all wise investments.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, those are all things that are designed to help you with your business, to brand you, to make you look more professional. So, but I'm sure over time there's going to be books that you want to, purchase for your business to help you, maybe explain certain things. Maybe it's a Facebook, ads course, something like that there. I know that we've got quite a few agents, especially, coming towards the end of the year, beginning of the new year. We got quite a few of our travel specialists that are already registering for bridal shows because we're coming into January bridal show season. And I know that's, that's a really big investment. I was talking with an agent just the other day who was spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $700. And she was explaining to me, Bert, this is a 2-day show. There's supposed to be, 1,000 plus brides that come through there. And, part, part of what we're talking about here is make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you've got a CRM to put all of those, you know, leads you're going to get into. Make sure that you've got some type of an email campaign or automation set up so that, you know, as soon as you leave the show, you put that information into your email campaign and your prospective clients start getting emails from you. So again, you know, make sure that you're not, you know, going, spending, you know, $600 or $700 on a bridal show, and then you get home, you know, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, whenever it is, and you just kind of sit there and wait for them to reach out to you.
That ain't going to happen.
The secret to those things is all on the follow-up, which is probably another topic for another podcast.
It was actually up for debate as that was going to be what this episode is, but we decided to save it.
So, you know, I've got about 33 more of my recommendations here, but we're going to cap it at the 5 here.
Yeah, we'll cap it at the 5 for now, and then we'll, you know, we'll bring it back.
Yeah.
You've thought about it, you've done your research, and you signed up with Luxio Vacations. The next step for you is to get yourself some branded swag. With Luxio Vacations' online apparel store, you will find catchy, branded t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, hats, trade show materials, yoga pants, cell phone cases, and so much more. Visit lxvnapparel.com and make sure to use promo code LVRPODCAST to get an additional 10% off of your order. That's lxvnapparel.com. Promo code LVR podcast. Well, welcome back, everyone. I had to say that because we were away for just a second. We are doing something new, like I had said before the break here, and that is a questions and answers. I went live in our Facebook group, which if you're not a part of the Luxivo community, you don't know what I'm talking about, so sign up and become a travel agent with us and you'll know what I'm talking about. But I went live in the group and asked people to ask us questions, and not the typical travel questions like, what's the commission of Royal Caribbean? I'm talking like the real questions, like the example that I used was what kind of tequila I drink in Mexico. More of those kind of questions. So I have some written down here. Here, the paper.
So, Dustin, what kind of tequila do you drink when you're in Mexico?
whatever the bartender pours. No, I'm very particular with. I like my reposados, but if I'm midday is like blanco, and then a reposado. I stay away from the añejo. It's a little too whiskey-ish for me. So,
any particular brand though?
Yes, El Jimidor, Milagro, Clase Azul, obviously, Don Julio. I mean, really, I guess I should have stuck with my first answer. Whatever the bartender is pouring, anything but that well nonsense that they give to the drunk Americans. So I have a few questions here.
All right,
these are from live, real people, active travel agents, and they. Let's just start with this one. So you go first, and I'll go next. But the question is for both of us, and it's, what are Bert's and Dustin's pet peeves? And I'm assuming this is just any pet peeve. I already know what mine is because I thought about this earlier. So
you want me to go first?
I could go first if you want me to go first. My pet peeve, I believe Cass asked this, my pet peeve is kind of two-parted. Anytime someone puts food in a cold skillet, I don't understand that. You wait for the skillet to preheat, and then you put it in. That's one pet peeve. I guess the second part to that is like the mushrooms. If you want to do mushrooms perfect, no oil, no butter, none of that, lay them in there. Don't crowd the pan. Let them start to lose their moisture, and then after they're browned a bit, you can add your oil and whatever else.
Okay. And is this because of me? Because I put the mushrooms in the skillet and then turned it
on? No,
okay,
you've learned because of that. But I learned that from Gordon Ramsay, so shout out.
Well, that's not really a business pet peeve. I was thinking business. You know, mine is that when someone sends me an email, says, hey, give me a call, or, you know, somehow I have to call somebody back and I call them back. And this is, you know, generally people that are, you know, thinking about becoming a travel specialist, already are one of our travel specialists, and I get some type of a hokey message on their voicemail. Hey, you've reached Bob's Pizza, you know, or whatever, something silly. you know, it's like, ugh, you know, you got to have a really professional, you know, voicemail greeting. So if you're out there and you got one of those and you want me to give you
a call, change it. Okay, another question. I'm not sure exactly who this one came from, but I know it came from the group. And it is, real briefly, what is the number one thing agents can do to put themselves out there and get more clients? I feel like we get that all the time. Hey, if you've got the answer, let us know.
If I can go first on
that. Yeah, no, I'm just going to delegate this one to you.
You know, so many of us forgot what the original intent was of that, you know, device that we carry around in our pocket. You know, that it used to be that we would, you know, make phone calls with it. And now it's just a way for us to message people, text them, or check them out on Facebook or take pictures. But it's a telephone, all right? And, you know, if you want to get the fastest, the greatest impact in your business and get sales, call people. You know, put them on a spot. Give them a call. Hey, you know, Sally, this is Jane. You know, I wanted to give you a call because right now, you know, Royal Caribbean, Sandals and Beaches, Riu, whoever it is, they're running a promotion right now to, you know, Punta Cana, to Cancun, whatever that is. And I just wanted to see if I could send some information out to you about that. Or was there a destination that you're more interested in, all right? That is the absolute fastest way, but so many people are afraid to use the telephone to actually make phone calls to people.
What the heck happened to, I mean, my God, Ace Exhibit, if you're listening, stop. But they are relentless.
Right.
The Ace Exhibit, which is our trade banner stands and all that stuff, and Yelp, they call constantly.
Yeah. Not just emails.
And email,
too.
They're
calling you.
I get emails, calls, mailing. Like, it's just, they are ridiculous. So that was good. Here, do you want to ask me this one right here?
When is Dustin going...
Into the microphone?
Yeah, sorry. When is Dustin going to get his haircut? We've been asking him that for the last year.
Okay, so yeah. So for those of you that don't know my image, I have long hair. I got it cut to my shoulders last time, January of 2016, and I haven't gotten a cut since. So this January will be 4 years.
Oh my Lord.
I know, right? But I will be cutting it very soon.
You've been saying that for probably a year.
I know, but then it's because I was waiting to turn 30, which is going to happen in a few days. What is it, the 13th? So in 11 days. So I'll do that. I also donate it to Wigs for Kids, so give me a few oohs and ahs in the comments.
So how many times have you donated?
I've donated two times.
Oh, yeah, this will be your third time.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while. It takes a while. So I don't know. I don't have an exact date of when I'm cutting it, but whatever. And this one for Bert from someone. I don't know. I think Cass also. She asked a bunch. How did Bert and Patricia meet? Do you want to do that one? Or, I mean, is it too long? Should she be on here?
I'm going to do it real quick. And if she on another podcast wants to chime in, she can. But I had a date. I was 16 years old. I was out with my buddy. We both worked at Burger King at the time. And we decided to go out and have a couple of underage beers, and we did that and decided to go back to Burger King to do something. And there was this girl and her younger sister at Burger King, and they looked awfully fine. And my friend and I were horsing around, and we started talking, and one thing led to another, and that was almost 40 years ago. So I was 16, she was 19, yep, but an older woman. And so at the time I worked at Burger King, obviously, and she worked at McDonald's. And she got me fired from Burger King, so I got her fired from from McDonald's. Again,
unreal.
Long story.
Yeah, back when they were using like actual food to make food. Real, they actually had a grill.
All right, so here's a question for you, Dustin. Let me look at this one here. Is it hard for you to call your parents by their first name at work?
Who's that from? I feel like it's
Lucilla. I work with my mom, and it's hard for me to call her by her first name.
I have absolutely zero issues calling Bert and Patricia by their first names. I cringe when either one of them refers to either one as mom or dad, and so on and so forth.
So even for inner office emails, when I email you, I sign it off as Bert. And I know your brother, David, he will sometimes, you know, call me dad in meetings and that there. But
and you know what? I was listening to Dave Ramsey's podcast, and he also explained the work and family, whatever, you know. He was like, at Ramsey Solutions, my daughter knows me as Dave, but when I go back to home, it's Papa Dave, or Papa, you know, Dad, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I have no issues with it. So, it's really quite easy there, Lucilla. Lucilla. Yeah, anyways. Okay, this one's for both of us. I'll give it a read. It is, what is our favorite holiday? I just answered one, so you go.
Oh, you know, I need some time to think about that.
Unbelievable.
I've got my answer.
I do too.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, my favorite holiday is I'm going to go with Christmas, because it's a weird, like, sad, happy holiday. There's like that nostalgia thing that gets in there. There's also, you know, being from Cleveland, there's the Christmas ales, which I'm still trying to go get. If you're an Ohio listener, you know the office's address and you can send those.
Any particular brand or?
Yeah, Great Lakes, Thirsty Dog, or Market Garden. All three, doesn't matter, not picky.
So my favorite holiday has got to be St. Patrick's Day. And it's not because of my Irish heritage, which I have very little. It's because we got married on St. Patrick's Day back in 1984. So St. Patrick's Day. And I'm going to score all kinds of points, you know, because I chose it with Patricia. So
add the awe reel. Aww. Okay, well, the last question that we have and that we have time for, don't worry, we have many more questions and we want you to submit more. But the last one is travel related, I guess. Do you have a bucket list of places you must travel to? And I'm going to finish the rest of that and say, if you do, what are at least two? Because there's no number, I noticed. It's just like, do you have a list? Yeah.
Oh, I've got an extensive list, but
so just give me two.
Yeah, well, I think the first one, we had Hawaii on there. We did that a few years ago. We had Paris on the list. We did that a few years ago too. And right now, I think the one that is on my list, top of mind, is Australia. As I'd like to get down to Australia, but one of the things that's holding me back, and I've shared this with you before, is that, you know, Australia is the opposite side of the planet, is that when we go, it's an entire continent that we want to be able to spend, you know, a month there. So so we can see it all and maybe hop over to New Zealand and see that as well. So
go see the Kiwis.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, here domestically, we want to do Alaska. So, you know, doing an Alaska cruise with a tour, you know, the land portion tour is on there. What is it? Denali National Park. I want to get up and see that. So, yeah.
Mine, since I'm youngish, I guess we would say, and I've got time to see more places, but I'm going to go with the given, which I'm sure you already know. Norway is number one. I don't know why. I watched the Winter Olympics and was just like, that flag, that's good branding. I want to go there. But, it's also just really cool place. I mean, the Northern Lights, and I want to go when the sun never sets and it's like 3 a.m. and it looks like 3 p.m. And number two is Germany, because it's just a heritage thing, you know, like I got to go drink some beer and have a big old pretzel and do whatever you do when you're in Germany. I know you've been there, so.
Yeah, well, that was actually that was my first trip to Europe, was going to Germany. So Patricia's been there several times, but good. All right.
Cool. So yeah, again, if you like these questions, answers thing, which I'm sure you do, if you're part of our travel agency base, then you can ask them in the group, but you can also, you know, comment them. If you're listening on Anchor, you can record a message and answer or ask questions there. And I guess really any way to get your question over to us is it's better than not asking it. So these are fun. I want to do more questions and answers.
Sounds good.
Well, that about does it for the episode. Remember to subscribe to Luxevo Vacations Radio wherever you listen to your podcast. If you ever considered becoming a travel agent, visit luxevovacations.com/join for more information and to sign up. Also, if you're listening to this on Anchor, you can leave us a voice message saying how much you enjoy the podcast, or feel free to ask us questions, like I said earlier. Signing up for Anchor is free, and they are the company we use to host and distribute this podcast. Remember to tune in next week for a brand new episode. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.